Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast, where we bring meaningful stories and powerful scriptures. Guys, I'm super excited. I've been delighted since I invited my friend Garrett onto the show today. Garrett Cars, he's up here in beautiful, where are we? We're in Kansas,
Hayes,
right?
Kansas, man.
Hayes,
I know.
Kansas.
In the middle of nowhere.
Love
you had
it.
To drive all the way up here to record this podcast,
man,
too.
Ain't that something? That was about 5 hours too long.
Yes. Like, for sure.
All good, though. I'm so glad it wasn't springtime, Tornado Alley out here.
Yes, sir.
But man, so glad to have you on, bro. You've been definitely influential in my life. I mean, I've been able to go through your book, read your book, was impacted by your book, endorsed your book, and I'm excited for my friends to get to hear. Today,
thanks,
bro,
man.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about your story. Let's start there.
Like, for sure.
Before the Garrett Now, impacting hundreds, if not thousands, of students here, if not tens of thousands. I don't know what it looks like in this moment for you.
Sure.
Specifically, day to day. However, I do know this, is that you've impacted me personally.
Wow, thank you.
What is it that got you to the point
where
you're at now? Just share with us. Walk us through your story, bro.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the podcast. You've impacted me. You've impacted so many people. And so it's an honor just to be in your presence, to be with you, to be your friend, to be your brother in the ministry of the gospel. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I have kind of a winding testimony. So I grew up in church, actually. So a lot of people that I talked to, they grew up in church, or they had somebody, you know, their grandma was in church, or they have, a lot of people do have some sort of background in church. My mom was actually the worship leader of our church. And so I was a church person. I was a church kid, man. And I grew up in the church and all over, just there all the time, you know? And so we were there before everybody else was there. Sometimes we'd even beat the pastor to church.
What?
And, and you know, we're there late at night when she was prepping, you know, ministry, worship, music for the next weekend. And so we were just, it was like our second home.
Beautiful.
And grew up in church and I grew up in a family that my dad was not a believer in Christ. Wow. And so it was just this weird kind of paradigm for me, because I saw my mom, who was passionately in love with Jesus, found Christ in college and just never turned away from that, and just became just this pursuer of Jesus and leader of worship. And then my dad, who just didn't want anything to do with anything when it, you know, was concerned with religion. And so it was just this weird kind of matchup in my household of seeing these two different lifestyles. One that was just, you know, everything centered on church and everything centered away from church.
Wow.
And so
really quick, let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
Before we move forward.
Sure.
I don't want to move past
this
because I'm in the fathering years, you know, and I remember being a kid and being so confused because my mom was a Christian. My dad was this guy who was practicing Islam and all this craziness.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to ask you, bro, like, I hear the Bible when it says train up a child in the way they should go, and later they won't depart from it or turn from it. Like, when you're being trained up in two different ways, what was the biggest wrestle with that for you specifically?
Yeah, I think the thing for me was, like, my dad was a good guy.
Awesome.
And so there wasn't that sense of, like, there wasn't that sense of, like, he was trying to get me to go away from my faith, or he was fine with us going.
Yeah.
He just didn't want anything to do with it, you know? And so it was this weird, like, paradigm for me to grow up in and see, like, here's my mom and here's my dad. And it just was a really hard thing for me to understand, like, okay, why isn't my dad, you know, serious about his faith? And so it was just that wrestle. And I think that my mom was very serious about raising up a child in the way that, she would go.
Praise God for mamas, for sure.
and you know, part of my story is actually like wanting my dad to follow Jesus, having this huge desire for my dad to follow Jesus. And for me to actually be a big part of that, and maybe we could tell that story after I tell my testimony, because it's kind of wild. My mom actually led me to Christ when I was 4. Yes. So she was putting me to sleep and was like, hey, we're going to go for bed. And she just felt like the Lord's like, share the gospel with your son. Wow. And which is crazy, right? Ooh, like, yeah, it's like, that's a bedtime story.
Come on, brother.
And so she did. She shared the gospel and she taught me what it meant for Jesus to be my savior and also what it meant for Jesus to be my Lord. And she told me, it's like, Jesus will be your boss for life. That's the way she described it to me at 4, you know, like Jesus. And so I don't know if I got saved because you know, it's like, oh, I really love Jesus, or I didn't want my mom to be my boss, and I just wanted Jesus to be. No.
I like that, because real quick, when it comes to a boss, I think of respecting a boss. And the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, this reverence. Yeah. I love that. Keep going,
and
bro.
So she was teaching me that at 4. You know, just like, hey, and he's the best boss. He's your Lord. He wants the best for you, and he'll lead you in those ways. And not only did he die on the cross and was raised from the grave to pay for the penalty of our sins, but he wants to lead you in life. And four, you know, like, here she is, evangelist to our family. And I can remember, you know, I can remember not specifically the prayer, but immediately after, I called every single member of our little church in Nebraska and told them that I had made that decision. It was like 9 o'clock, and these people on the phone were just worshiping and celebrating and so excited for me that I would make that decision. And so that was the picture of Christian community that I had at a really young age.
Nice.
And so you'd think, man, I was set for life, right? 100%. And in 5th grade, I actually responded to an altar call for vocational ministry. And so we grew up in a church, less than 100 people, super small, and in a town of 1,000. So it was actually a pretty good sized church for, you know, a small town. But the pastor was like, he would literally go from Sunday school room, which I don't know if all your audience knows what Sunday school is, but it was like classes for kids before the service. And then we would sit in the church service before, and they would teach lessons and things like that. But he would go from room to room and pray over all the kids that were in the room before the service started. And he just like paused at my room and prayed for me. And he didn't know specifically what it was for. And then after he got up, he preached the message, had nothing to do with the calling of vocational ministry, felt like the Lord prompted him to give an altar call. And here, this 5th grade kid, the only person who responded to that message, walked forward, nailed at the altar, and felt like the Lord was calling me to vocational ministry to be a pastor in 5th grade.
5th grade.
Yeah. And so, you know, 10, 11 years old, somewhere in that.
I was just trying to go to figure out, you know, what kind of shoes I wanted back then. Right. Or LeBron. I know.
Exactly.
LeBron.
Yeah. Michael Jordan. Michael. Man.
Yeah.
Come
not
on.
LeBron. I'm too old. I'm trying to, you know, let me do my thing.
You know. But yeah. So, that was 5th grade. And in 6th grade, I completely ran away from everything. And I started like getting, I don't know if persecuted is the right word, but essentially being kind of becoming the laughing stock of my class because of my faith, because of me, like, you know, people are, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pastor. What? No way, man. That's dumb. You know, and just so it was really, and I can remember this like specific moment where I was eating food and people just making fun of me for praying over my meal and just saying like, man, are you eating Jesus crackers and Messiah soup? Like you're such a Bible beater. And just, and you know, now it's kind of, it's like, oh, that's actually kind of funny. Like, you know, but to a fifth, sixth grade kid, it was devastating.
Was it?
And, and so I can remember just thinking, Jesus, if this is what it's like to follow you, I don't want anything to do with it. I just, it was at that moment where I didn't have people I could go to talk about what was going on, and not understanding that following Jesus isn't going to be easy, and following Jesus is going to come with a cost.
100%.
I just didn't understand that in sixth grade, and I didn't want to deal with all of that. And so I literally just flipped a switch in my life and went from everything to being about Jesus to everything not being about Jesus, everything being centered on the world. I can remember I took my first drink in fifth grade and started drinking alcohol in fifth grade as a young kid, just trying to fit in, trying to live that whole life. And that was really what mucked my life all the way until I was a junior in college.
Wow.
And so that was really kind of what had become, was just this party guy. I came to Fort Hays State University because none of my classmates came to this university, and I wanted a fresh start. I didn't want anybody to know me, and I wanted to be the guy on campus.
Gotcha.
Like I wanted to be that guy, you know, like I that was kind of why I came here. And I accomplished it, you know, I would. And that's where I went to school, and I would drink 4, 5, 6 nights a week.
Wow.
You know, trying to be, I was trying to get that fulfillment of what I was lacking from other people, from building all these friendships, from different substances. And so that's really the life that I lived all the way from high school until college. And so
powerful. Guys, again, we're speaking to our friend Garrett Cars right here at Fort Hays State University, where he leads a college ministry here at Encounter Celebration Church. Guys, I'm just super excited for you.
Thanks,
I want
man.
You to know that God is doing amazing work in your life, and we're getting deeper into your testimony. But before we go even further, let's share a little bit about the book that you wrote here recently that I was able to endorse, which I'm super excited about. Guys, jump on this. Share a little bit about it and why you felt the need to really write around this topic.
Yeah,
it's so important.
For sure. Yeah. So the book is called No Longer Labeled. It's a 31-day devotional, and it's all about identity.
Totally.
And so honestly, the testimony that we're talking about, my testimony, was really the kind of the brunt of this book. It's a lot about my struggle with all of these identities. And really what I realized that when I was looking for that, all that fulfillment, what I was doing was putting all these fake identities on myself. And in the book, I call them labels. Right? It's called No Longer Labeled.
That's
so
right.
All these fake identities, all these false identities where I would put all these, and I could fake it till I made it,
I know, right?
And you
the
can make it work.
That, huh?
Yes, exactly. And you can make yourself feel good, and you get these like kind of shots of temporary fulfillment because you're like, oh, look at me. Look at all this stuff. Look what I can do. And then eventually it just wears off.
Yeah.
And there's this lack of sustainable fulfillment, sustainable joy.
So good.
That I just, you know, eventually lost.
Garrett, that's so good, bro. And I want to ask you this. Someone in their car, they're driving now, or their head is on their pillow. It's late at night. And they're thinking through, like, what have I allowed to attach to me that isn't my true God-given identity?
Sir. Yeah.
What are ways that you've really been able to tell what have you allowed to latch to you?
Yeah.
Like, how can someone know
what they're
attaching themselves to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I say and what I talk about in the book is anything that holds more weight than what God says is more important to us as an identity.
Wow.
So anything that holds more weight than what God says.
Ooh. Say that again. That was so nice. You got to say it twice.
Yeah. So anything that holds more weight than what God says is a fake identity. Oof. And so that's really what I was struggling with is, and it could be really close, right?
Yeah.
But if it holds just a little more weight, do we believe that a little bit more than what God says about us?
Mm.
And so for me, there was a lot of different identities that I had put on myself and try to seek fulfillment with.
Yeah.
And like one that I always really struggled with was body image.
Got it.
And I talk about the story in the book where I was in kindergarten and somebody called me Bugly, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the title of the day. And it means ugly. And to a kindergartner, it's like the worst, man. It was like the worst diss of all time.
Yeah.
And now I still struggle sometimes with my body image, with who and what is, and so if I'm holding more weight towards something where I'm not actually believing that God made me wonderful and beautiful, and he actually created me to be a masterpiece, and that's who God says, if I don't allow that to hold the utmost weight in my life, then we've replaced that with a fake identity.
That's so good, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I needed to hear that to be reminded, and someone out there really needed to hear that today. And I want you to continue on with your story a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
What ended up happening sort of after the college years here at Fort Hays? When was that come to Jesus moment? Like, I'm
for sure.
I've repented. I've turned from my sins. I've placed my faith in Jesus. Yes. I want you. Yeah. I need you.
Yeah.
No more one. I need you.
Right, for sure. Yeah. So junior year in college, right before Christmas, my life just got flipped upside down.
Mm.
And I started having all these health issues. I started having, basically what ended up happening was I got all these sores that started in my intestines, worked up their way to their stomach, and ended up all the way into my mouth and throat.
Wow.
And I lost 20 pounds because I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't drink anything. And I drank like 6 ounces of Gatorade in like 2 or 3 days and ended up in the ER trying to figure out what's going on. And so we couldn't figure it out. The doctors couldn't figure it out. We went to doctor after doctor. They tried to prescribe all this medicine, and it was literally just could not figure it out. I'm losing weight. My body's falling apart. It was crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, we went to the doctor in Nebraska, and, you know, he did a bunch of tests, did all this stuff, and he comes back in, and he looks at me and he said, "You want the good news or the bad news?" And I don't know why doctors say that.
Well,
you know,
I mean, like, just give it to me small.
Come on. You know, and I was like, well, just start with the bad news. You know, I was like, okay, how bad, you know, can this be? And that's literally, I can remember thinking like, it's not going to be that bad.
Wow.
Let's just get this over with. I want to go back to my life. And I can remember like sitting in there with my dad. He's sitting right next to me. And the doctor just said, "I want to know how much you've been drinking." And I was like, and it just was a shot from left field, like just completely out of the blue.
So that was
the
first time it came to mind that it could be alcohol just destroying you.
I had no idea. And I said, you know, and I was 21, literally 21 and a half years old. I'd been legally able to drink for 6 months. And he's asking me, like, how much do you drink? And I told him, you know, just a couple beers with the buddies, you know, football games, all that stuff.
Wow.
And he said, I know that's not true.
Mm.
And I'd been caught, man. You know, like I was it felt like the room froze.
Wow.
You know, it was just like slow motion. And he just said, he looked me in the eyes and he said, "Garrett, your liver is failing." He said, "Your liver is failing. And if you keep living this lifestyle, you're going to die."
Wow.
He's like, "And if you don't die, you're going to have a liver transplant at 21 and a half years old."
Yeah.
And those don't come very often.
Yeah.
And most of the time you don't get a good liver. And he's just, I mean, it was like just the weightiness just hit.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, you said there was good news." And he said, you know, I just remembered it.
Okay, I'm
you
done know, with the bed.
Look, let's in move on. News. Just like, and he said, "There is a small chance that if you quit living this life, that your liver will actually regenerate itself back to normal."
Ooh.
And I just remember leaving that room and you'd think I'd changed. because I came back and told all my friends what had happened, and they handed me a beer. And they and they tried to get me to keep drinking. And eventually I had to make a decision that I was done with that life.
The devil is a lie.
Yeah.
Man.
And so just, you know, and I had to wrestle through this decision of life. It was life and death for me with alcohol specifically. And I can remember coming to this realization that I couldn't do this anymore. And so I kept going to the parties. I kept doing all that stuff, but I was just trying not to drink. And I got made fun of. I got called names. And I wasn't even following Jesus at this moment. And everything around me started to crumble. All my friends stopped coming to my house. Mm. My phone wasn't buzzing all the time. Wow. My girlfriend at the time didn't want anything to do with me because she was dating me because I was the famous party guy on our campus. All of this stuff. And eventually my life literally crumbled where I didn't have anyone. I was alone.
But him.
And that was the moment Woo! Where Jesus came and found me. And it wasn't like, and I wish I could say like, I had the effort and the ambition to go follow Jesus, but it wasn't. He came in the middle of my mess and came and found me. Come and, on. Wow. So and it's just a picture of who Jesus is. And it was one of those things where I'd lost everything. And just like Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, I built my life on the sand. When the storm came, there was nothing left.
Ooh, come on,
and bro. There was just this decision where I was like, I have to give Jesus a try again because I don't know where to go. There's no other place for me to go. And I can remember slowly making these decisions and slowly walking away. It wasn't an instantaneous moment where I just came to Jesus. My entire life changed. It took months and months and months of Jesus pursuing me in order for me to understand that his design for life is way better than what the world has to offer. Mm. And so it was in that transition that I felt like the calling that God had given me as a fifth grader was irrevocable. That
Come on,
I was
bro.
Still called to be a vocational minister. And so I ended up changing. I have an agricultural business degree from our university because I was going to go back home and farm. That was going to be my life. That was what I'm the only person to take over my family farm. And I'm a fifth generation, so our farm's been in our family for over 100 years.
Whoa.
And so for me, I completely walked away, and it's worth millions of dollars.
Dang.
And so I walked away from that
Come on.
Because I felt like because Jesus's testimony in me was worth me sharing with other people so that they could know that following Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. And Beautiful. God's design for life is way more fulfilling, way more satisfying than anything the world has to offer. And I've tried both.
Yeah.
I've done both things. And Jesus is way better.
Beautiful. Man, so powerful. I had this beautiful image of you not dropping seeds in the field, but dropping seeds in people's hearts that are going to be everlasting. So, man, super pumped for you. Excited about what's to come.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by.
Let's transition just a little bit. So fast forward, you answered the call. I mean, God called you, you answered.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
And now you are who you are, by the grace of God, walking out the calling. Share with me a little bit, what are some of the stories or impact that you've experienced where you are now in this season of life? What's happening in the hearts of our generation?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. I am amazed at what God can do through someone like me.
Yeah. Come on.
I mean, it's just one of those things that time and time again, I'm just amazed at God because of what he's doing through me, you know, and it's not me. You know, and you're going to talk about the verse. I've been wrestling with what to say, but I think I was, but I think Psalm 115, 1 says, not to me, O Lord, not to me, but to your name be the glory.
Wow.
And so that for me, I want to preface these stories with that verse because it's not about me. It's about God receiving the glory. And so, but I've seen crazy things happen, and I'd love to finish with my dad's story because it's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
But I felt the call to be a pastor when I was in fifth grade, and I didn't really know what that meant. But now I started working for a college ministry that I now run, and I was assistant director when I recommitted my faith to Christ. But then I started doing itinerant ministry. And so I kind of had this, like, I work within a church, but then I travel around the country and preach much, like, 100%. You know. And so I do events and conferences and things like that. And the way that God has used just someone like me who doesn't have it all together, doesn't have it figured out, life is still messy. But we've seen so many cool people who were far away like me, who were running into what the world had to offer full steam. And they don't actually have to experience the depth of sorrow and depth of brokenness that I had to experience, because God puts me in a place where they can see this is the destruction that that road is leading them to. And God can rescue them before they get to a place where they have to deal with the consequences of sin that I had to deal with. And so we've seen so many things, and just trying to be obedient to the calling of God, and not, and that a lot of times we try to make this like calling like big, right? What does this look like? But for me, it's more about, I call it unlabeled obedience. So it's not big. It's not small. We actually don't put a label on obedience. We just do whatever Jesus says, because he's our Lord. Because
you need
he's
to write a book around that, brother. Okay. Okay.
In the works. 2028.
Nice. There we go.
It's actually outlined. So it is. It is. Yeah. So I've been working on it. It's awesome, a super Garrett. Secretive. Not now, because this is you're huge. So this might blow up. I'm just teasing. But one of the stories I wanted to share was I felt, and this is what I mean by unlabeled obedience. I really felt like I was supposed to travel to Australia for a couple weeks.
Got it.
And so I fundraised, I got on a plane, and I went.
Gotcha.
And I went to Sydney, Australia, and did not know what I was there for. And so I literally was just there, man. Wow. And I'm walking around, I'm trying to figure out, why am I here? Lord, I'm here, but I don't know why I'm here. Yeah. And so I just started, like, I went to Hillsong a couple different times.
Awesome.
They're legit. I met Taya Smith in person, and she's a rock star. She's so amazing. And I was like, cool. Oh, that's probably why I'm here, right, God? right, exactly. And I'd seen her in concert like 3 days before I met her in Australia. It was just
interesting.
Wild. But I can remember just being so frustrated with God, because I'm like, I am eating amazing food. I'm seeing sights. I'm here. I'm not on vacation, Lord. What am I here for?
Amen.
Because I didn't fundraise. I didn't pay money to be, like, I'm not on vacation. Like, why am I here? And so I can remember drinking coffee one morning. I'm literally drinking coffee, reading the Bible, being frustrated, just telling the Lord how frustrated I am about there's nothing going on.
Wow.
What am I going to do? And so I came up with this plan that I was going to go to Olympic Park where they held the Olympics.
Totally.
And I'm going to street preach. You don't know anything about that, do you?
You know.
And I'm just like, I'm going to just go. And I just was like, I got to make something happen. I was like, and to me, it was just like, I can't go back home and say, yeah, look at all these cool pictures of all this stuff to people who supported my trip overseas. I was like, I have to make something happen. And I remember I just was like, I'm going to go get one more coffee. And if you don't tell me what to do, Lord, I'm going to go do this. Okay. I don't advise that. That's not something that, like, but I was just so frustrated. I'm like, why am I here? I'm away from my wife. I'm away from my family. Gotcha. I'm away from my job. Like, why am I here for, you know, what am I doing?
A blind obedience.
Yeah.
Though, man.
And
I'm
excited. I just walked up, and I can remember I grabbed my cup of coffee. I'm going to go back up to the bar and get some more coffee. I walk by this guy and I look down and he's reading a book. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, and I love books. I love books. I love reading. I love writing. Totally. I love all that stuff. And so I kind of like glanced, it might've been a little creepy at the time, but I like glanced at it and I saw the title says, what to do before you go back to church. And I'm like, what?
Interesting.
And so I literally ran, got another coffee, came back, and I looked at him. I was like, is there any way I could sit down with you? And he's like, yeah. And so we start having this conversation and find out that he's It was Monday morning at like 8 a.m. He went to church for the very first time on Sunday.
What?
And so he, that church had given him that book and said, hey, go home and read this. And I was at the coffee shop that he was at the morning after he decided to go to church for the very first time. He'd never been in a church before. He actually said he had heard the gospel before and said he made a decision to follow Jesus, but he didn't go to church. He didn't know how to follow Jesus. And so I literally spent the entire day, his name was G, with G, and I started teaching him about the Bible. I started teaching him about theology. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have anything else besides that book. So we boarded on a train. We went to a bookstore. I bought him a Bible. I bought him some theology books. And we had started, you know, I said, hey, I have to go. I can't be here. I'm going back to the United States. And so we started emailing back and forth. And the very last email that I got from G was him saying to me, I feel like I'm called to be a pastor because of the day we spent together in Sydney. What?
Beautiful. Wow.
And so that's just some of the stuff, man, that when we walk in obedience, we have no idea what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we love to tell these stories.
Totally.
Because the fruit is immediate. But what happens when we don't see that immediate fruit? Are we still willing to say yes to Jesus because he is the one who's asking? And is a lot of times we ask the question, is this worth it? And I think it's actually the wrong question. Mm. The question we should be asking is Jesus worthy?
Ooh.
And if the answer is yes, then we should walk in obedience.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for that word.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Is so good. And I'm thinking, is Jesus worthy?
Mm-hmm.
He's worth all of
it. That's it.
Even our lives.
Yeah.
To the point of death. So I want, let me ask you this. Because I'm thinking of, it feels like since I've come to Christ, when we start getting married and having children, we tend to like to get comfortable. Sure. I mean, I feel like from the standpoint of being radical in our obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what gave you the courage in that time to really move forward with what God was calling you to do? And also, that's amazing. Kudos and blessings and favor to your wife for allowing, for like saying,
yes,
I support you, hubby, yes, as you move out there and go, there and do what God's calling you to do.
Yeah.
What word would you have for someone out there who's, I mean, they feel the tug to do almost something that's radical? What would you say?
Yeah. I would say choose your spouse well.
There we go. That's half the battle.
If you're in that season of trying to choose your spouse, it's worth the wait.
Totally.
You know? And Jesus isn't wasting your season of singleness.
Mm.
And so I did not choose. God ran me right into my wife. I mean, it's just a crazy story. And when I started praying about her, I shared with a friend and they're like, dude, no way. She's out of your league. You're never going to marry her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is why I believe the Lord has told me, you know, and not like in a creepy weirdo way that all these guys sometimes do. But I prayed, you know, for 6 months before I ever even talked to her as a friend, like as a friend that wanted to approach her as pursuing a relationship. But I can remember I was getting ready to go overseas on a trip to a close country to share the gospel in a place where I might not come home. And I can remember prepping and we had all of this work and I'm not going to share all the details just because of the security issues and stuff. But I can remember the person I was going to, we prepped everything. We had a story, we had contacts here. So if they called the United States, they'd have the same story. I mean, all these logistics to make sure that we could be there as safely as possible. And I can remember about a month before the trip going over there, like, I had to make a decision. Yeah. Like, am I in or out?
100%.
And I can remember just wanting to talk to my wife. Her name's Talia. And I can remember sitting down like, hey, babe, you know, we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because I might not come back. And I just said, this is the reality of me saying yes to what I feel like Jesus wants me to do. But you are a part of this now.
Yeah.
And we have to make this decision together.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and said, I don't know what you're worried about. She said, Jesus took care of me before you.
Wow.
You don't think he can take care of me after you?
Ooh. Wow. That Ooh, she preaching. She is preaching.
And that was the end of the conversation. That was it.
Talia.
Hey, come on. Now. Yeah. And so she literally just, it just is that thing of where we both want what God wants.
Yeah.
And so we do whatever it takes to do what God wants for us. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't had rocky parts in our marriage. 100%. We're still going through stuff. We're working through stuff. We have to go to therapy and do all this stuff,
100%,
man.
100%,
bro. And so it doesn't, like, I don't want you to, we're not on the pedestal. We're not any of these things, but we want what God wants 100%. For our lives and for our daughter. And I love, like, for me, what you're talking about raising up in a way that child should go, it shouldn't just be us teaching her these principles, but us actually living them out.
Living them out.
And that's what my mom did for me. You know, she did. Wow. It wasn't just this like lip service to church. It was a lifestyle of Christianity, of following Jesus and intimacy with him.
Beautiful.
And when I came back, I had a foundation that she had built in my life to where God could build on that foundation of knowing the Bible, knowing those things, knowing worship, how to tithe. She had taught me how to tithe. And so when I came back to my faith, that was something I picked right back up. And so, but for our marriage, it's just all about that. Let's set the example. And that's what I believe Jesus did for us.
Yeah. 100%.
He set the example for us how to live. And that's how we should model the way that we live on earth. And then hopefully other people see the way we're living. And it's attractive.
Yeah.
And they want to do something. And you don't have to go overseas.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't.
You don't have to go overseas. You go right across the street. But the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of you. And he gives you the power and the words and the knowledge to know what to do, when to do it. And he is the one who's actually drawing people to himself. Yeah. And we just get to be a part.
We get to be a part of it.
And so... Absolutely. So that's you know, part of it. And even, you know, if you don't mind, I share my dad's story.
Yeah, that's what I was actually going to.
He did not love Jesus. And when I came to faith, he was fine with it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool, Garrett. Yeah. That's great for you. You know, type of thing. Like, until I told him I wasn't coming home to the farm. And so they had built up this huge empire. I don't know if you want to call it but had built up this all to give it to me so I could come home and take it over and run it and then hopefully have family and give it to them. And so I can remember going on this drive with my dad and telling him that, hey, I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home to take over the farm. I feel called to be a pastor. And I just am crying. And he looks at me and he just said, I don't want you to ever go to church again. I don't want you to ever talk to a pastor again. I don't want you to ever talk to this itinerant minister again. This is ridiculous. You're dumb. And just derogatory, just tearing me down. And I can remember just crying and just looking at him and saying, the only thing I want from you is for you to support me. And he said, if you're following Jesus, there's nothing I can do to support you if you decide to do this. And so it was in that moment where I realized that's where he was. And it was following Jesus was okay as long as it meant that Jesus did what he wanted.
Yeah.
What my dad wanted, not what Jesus wanted. As long as it lined up with what my dad's prerogative for life was, then it was fine. And so life was crazy. But I can remember this moment where basically he was at a Nebraska football game, very mediocre football game, I'm sure. I'm just teasing.
Nebraska,
come on.
Back in the day, that was pretty
they were good,
good
man.
Coach Callahan.
Yes. Man, we're going to be good again. I'm calling it out. but he actually passed out and, he like literally they carted him off, out 97 rows up. They took him all the way out, put him on an ambulance. And my sister called me and said, Dad had a heart attack. They're taking him to the ER. They don't think he's going to even make it to the hospital. I don't know what to do. Yeah. And I'm like, Chris, you got to get there. And I'm here in Hayes, 3 hours away. There's no way I can get there in time to say goodbye to my dad.
Yeah.
And this is, I can't remember for sure the exact dates, but it's like 4 or 5 months after my conversion when this happened. And I can remember driving up to our church, sitting up here and praying out to God and saying, Dad, you can't allow my dad to die because he doesn't know you.
Wow.
And I'm like, God, you have the power to do this. Can you please save my dad? And I can remember as a little kid wanting to always be a part of my dad's salvation, just praying for my dad's salvation. My mom prayed for 23 years for my dad's salvation. And I can remember, and this has not happened since. So I don't want this to be like, oh, this is how Garrett hears from the Lord or anything. But I can remember thinking that I needed to call my dad. I needed to share the gospel.
Yeah.
And then I needed to tell him that they're going to run a bunch of tests on my dad and nothing's going to come back with anything on it. And I can remember just saying, heck no. You know, I said, my dad just had a heart attack. My dad just had a heart attack and he's going to die. And you want me to tell him that they're going to run a bunch of tests and nothing can come back? Like, just completely not like, and I can just remember thinking, if you want to be a part of your dad's salvation, you need to do this.
What's impossible with man is possible with God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Keep going, bro. Keep going.
For sure. So I called him. I called my sister because he wasn't answering his phone. I said, you need to give the phone to dad. I got something to say to him. And so I do. God, dad, Jesus loves you. He wants to be in a relationship with you.
Wow.
And I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to tell you this. They're going to run a bunch of tests on you and nothing's going to come back with anything on it. Mm. And he was so mad. He's like, okay, bye. Hang up.
Okay.
I got so mad, bro.
Did you?
I got so mad at God because I'm like, I'm such an idiot. What did I do? That was so stupid.
Yeah.
And I just kept, I'm like, my dad's never going to come to you, Jesus. Like, that was, I'm so stupid. I ruined it. You know, just being so frustrated because my dad got angry when I shared the gospel with him. And so I just started praying, Lord, have your way. I don't know what you're going to do. Please forgive me if I misheard or I ruined this. Like, please, you know, just like messed up. I ruined it. And I can remember just kind of walking along. I didn't talk to him about Jesus for months. And I can remember just like, God, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? And they started doing all these tests on my dad.
Gotcha.
Month after month after month. They ran almost every single test humanly known to man on my dad, besides a CT scan.
Got it.
And nothing came back with anything on it.
Wow.
And they couldn't figure it out. And finally, they went to a physical therapist. And they realized that my dad had double rotator cuff surgery. So both shoulders.
Got it.
He had surgery back to back. So 1 month he had this one done. And the next month after this one had healed enough to where he could, you know, feed himself and those things, he had the other one done. And what had happened was they didn't do physical therapy properly on my dad. And so when he got overworked or overstressed, the muscles between his shoulder blades would constrict so much that it would actually hit my dad's spinal cord and it would immediately black him out.
Wow. Whoa. So and that was the conclusion.
That was, like, yep. And there have been four people in the world that this has happened to.
Wow.
And through that whole thing, my dad ended up giving his life to Christ.
You remember the words of faith he spoke over
what I said to him when I shared the gospel with him. Because of all of this stuff, because of what had happened, my dad ended up giving his life to Christ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise God, bro.
Yeah.
So, amazing.
And now he is an evangelist, man. Come on. In his little town, man, they give out pizza. Hallelujah. He shares, like the other day, he said he got pulled over and he knew the cops didn't go to church. So he's like, hey, man, write me a ticket. That's fine. But do you know Jesus? You know,
just
all the time. Wow. And so, and he's in his 50s now. And he tells me all the time, he's like, man, Gary, I didn't follow Christ for 25 years. He's like, I got to make up for lost time.
Wow.
I want people to know and experience the God that I experience. And
wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. Doug,
again, from the seeds in the field to the seeds of faith. That's amazing.
Yeah,
evangelist. Praise God, bro. Wow. Garrett, you was faithful.
For sure, man.
You knew who was faithful.
Yeah, for sure.
Man. So with that being said, this story is incredible. And I can't wait to hear and read and listen to more as we move forward. And my audience, I want to know where can everyone find you, bro? Like on a weekly basis,
social medias. Yeah.
But wait, let's not go there. I want to do three quick, rapid questions real quick. So, and this is going to be a little bit more funner, a little bit more looser. Great. Okay, if you can go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
I want to go to New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Because it's just beautiful.
What? Yeah, and just right, like, comfort.
Yeah, just like, you know, travel, just like hike through all the mountains and ocean. Yeah,
that would
it's amazing. Beautiful. Out there. Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful. Okay, awesome, bro. And what would be your ideal dish or meal?
Ooh, New York Strip, man.
Really? Yeah. New York Strip? Yep. I got to try that.
Yeah, New York Strip. It's just, it's literally like, it's not, I don't know. I just like steak. So good.
Awesome. And what's your ideal day? Or what's one of the best days you ever spent with your bride? Like, what would it look like to have the best date night ever or the best planned day with you two?
Yeah, we love hiking. We love doing all that stuff. But also, this is kind of lame, so I'm sorry. But we're so busy and we're so like in the public eye that we love pajama and movie night. So we just make popcorn and like skip, you know, just low like key. Eat kind of, yeah, just low key, watch a movie and hang out. So yeah, awesome. It's a lot different than what people are used to. But
absolutely,
we love doing that.
All right, bro, before we get to social, just any last words of encouragement, anything you feel stirred to say, or you even can just pray.
Sure. Yeah. Are we going to do the scripture verse too?
Oh, yeah. The verse of the day. I missed
it. Let's go. It's all good, man.
Okay, let's do the verse of the... Oh, how did I miss that, guys? I don't know. So,
it's all good.
Here we go. Scriptures and Stories podcast. Heard the story. Now let's get to the scripture.
Yeah. What is it?
Yes, let's go. Yeah, so this is one... I mentioned, you know, Psalm 115, but this is one that I really feel like is becoming quickly a life verse for me. It's Romans 1:16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile."
Wow.
And I've just been just kind of honing in on this verse, because I've always, you know, like you always hear like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
But why was Paul not ashamed? Because it's the power of God that brings salvation.
Wow.
It's the power of God. And I think that one of the reasons why we may be ashamed is because we don't actually believe it's the power of God. We don't actually believe in the power of God. And so we're ashamed. If we knew the power of God, if we knew how powerful the Holy Spirit was and what he wants to do in people's lives, then we would not be ashamed.
Amen.
Because we know the power that salvation brings.
Amen.
And so for me, it's been this like, okay, I think that my unbelief in the power of the gospel has led to my shame. And so it's not me trying to put on this like bravado of like, I'm not ashamed in the gospel, but it's actually understanding that the power of the gospel will win out. And because of my belief in the power of the gospel, that will lead to me not being ashamed of the power of the gospel.
Beautiful. Woo. Wow. All right, guys. Well, there ain't no being ashamed no more.
Yeah.
Because we know it's the power of God.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go, bro. Awesome, man. Well, where can everybody find you on social? Go listen to some of your messages,
yes,
get the book.
For sure.
And also, I know we'll get into it later, though. I'll have you back on to share about
your
discipleship book that's coming soon.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Yeah. So they can follow me on social media, Garrett Kahrs. That's two R's, two T's, K-A-H-R-S.
There we go. And not then, the C-A-R,
no,
but the
K-A-H-R-S.
There
yes,
we
sir.
Go.
So any of the social medias, I'm not on TikTok because I'm old, I guess, but
hey, come on.
I'm
now,
just teasing,
brother.
Bro.
Yeah, I Jesus can't. Is king.
For sure. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, try to be as active on that. And I actually do more like messaging, like DMs, all that stuff than I do posting. And so I really I love the interaction with people. I don't post as much content just because I want to use social media as a way to develop relationships. And
beautiful.
That's what I believe it was intended for.
Absolutely.
So hit me up. You can slide into my DMs and just hit me up. Any questions you have about God or faith or anything, I love to connect with you. And also GarrettKahrs.com.
Awesome.
That has messages, all the stuff, bookings for speaking, all my books.
We got a lot of next gen folks on here.
Yeah,
so hopefully
for sure.
Out,
no,
man.
Yeah,
let's go.
And then also all of my books are linked on there. You can find them on Amazon as well. So
beautiful. Man, thank you so much, bro.
Thanks, man.
Honor you, love you. Thank you for your ministry. Can't wait to see what God's
sir.
Gonna continue to do in and through
thank you
for his name's sake.
Thank you. It's an honor.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up today's episode. I love you guys. Until next time, Start where you are and God will take you where you need to be.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. For more information about this show, visit ConvergePodcastNetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.